The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A 14-year-old girl had a man's name tattooed on her ring finger. Not a friendship bracelet, not a note in a locker, a permanent tattoo. David and the shh. Yeah. She traveled with him to Las Vegas, London, and Texas. She spent weekends at his Hollywood Hills home. She was in seventh grade when the relationship allegedly started. And every adult in her orbit, her parents, two sheriff's departments, and an entire music industry that surrounded this glob of rejected human DNA known as David had at least a piece of this in front of them. Not one of them did a damn thing. Her name was Celeste Rivas Hernandez. The man, according to prosecutors, was David Burke, a platinum-selling recording artist who goes by David. Their filing says they made contact originally back in January 2022. She was 11. He was 17. Prosecutors allege an illegal relationship began in November of 2023 when she was 13 and he was 18. Over the following year, she spent what prosecutors describe as significant time with him. Summer weekends at his rental in the Hollywood Hills, Las Vegas, London, Texas, where she met his family. And she's a child. This is a three-part series about every person in every system that had a chance to stop it and didn't. And I'd love to get your thoughts in the comments section as we work our way through where we are at in the David case and how we got here. Celeste was reported missing from her Lake Elsinore home by three separate times in early 2024, February 15th, March 19th, and April 5th. Three reports filed with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. Three times she vanished. Three times she came back. Three times the system marked it resolved and then just moved on. But it was the first report, February, that could have changed everything, because after that report, law enforcement had every piece of information they needed. They just didn't use any of it. Deputies pulled Celeste's phone records and found Burke's number. They called him on February 17th. He had said he'd last spoken with her a few days earlier. He had said he had no idea she was a minor. No idea. No clue. No idea. Same day, Riverside County requested a welfare check at Burke's West Hollywood home through L.A. County. Deputies knocked on his door. Burke showed up, showed him a yearbook photo of Celeste stored on his phone, told them he'd only met her once in November of 23. Deputies informed him to his face that this girl was 13 years old and a runaway. Then they left. That's it. They left. No investigation opened, no follow-up visit, no attempt to verify a single word he said. Nobody ran his name, nobody Googled it, which would have shown them in about 4 seconds if they were talking to a signed recording artist with millions of followers. Hell, you might even find her in a photo or two on social media with him. An adult man had a 13-year-old runaway school photo saved on his phone, lied to their faces about the relationship, and two sheriff's departments treated it like, yeah, it's a noise complaint, just keep it down. All right, you got it, guys. Have a good one. That is the moment. If one deputy asks one question, why does this guy have a seventh grader's yearbook photo on his phone? It's not his daughter or related to him. Like, okay. If one deputy just asks that question, we're not here talking about it now. Celeste came home 2 days later. Her parents took her phone. She was reported missing again March 19th and again on April 5th, three times in under 2 months. A 13-year-old girl vanishing repeatedly is not a closed case. It's a siren. And deputies already had the name, the number, and the home address of the adult on the other end of her phone records. They'd been inside his home. They told him her age, and nothing happened. According to prosecutors, after the first report, Burke drove to Lake Elsinore and paid one of Celeste's junior high classmates $1,000 to hand her a new phone that he'd bought for her. $1,000 just to give her. He gives $1,000 to a child in her class. So you could keep talking to a 13-year-old whose parents had just cut off contact. That's some clever encrypted workaround. He allegedly drove to her town, found a kid in her school, and handed over cash, and it worked. The line reopened immediately. What followed was a full year of access that nobody question. Prosecutors say Celeste spent weekends at Burke's Hollywood Hill home through 2024. She went to Vegas. She went to London. She went to Texas, where she met his family. Think about what it takes. Somebody booked those flights. Somebody checked into those hotels. A 13-year-old girl was walking through airports, sitting in ride chairs, sleeping in a grown man's home for days at a time. Not a single person in that chain, not the TSA, not a hotel at a front desk, not a car rental counter, flagged anything. The commercial infrastructure that moves people across borders had this child passing through it regularly and did not blink. And this wasn't a nobody. This was a signed artist with a label behind him, a touring operation, a management team, social media headliners, an entourage. There were people around David Burke, whose literal job was to manage his schedule and his image. A 13-year-old girl was a regular presence in his life, and either the people whose business it was to know everything about his business didn't know, or they knew and said nothing. Neither answer is acceptable. His own family met her. They had a young girl in their home. They were later subpoenaed by Los Angeles grand jury to talk about what they knew. The response was to hire lawyers in Texas and fight the subpoena. That comes up in part three. The tattoos on both their index fingers. David on her ring finger. Permanent ink on a child's hand, visible to anyone who bothered to look. Nobody at her school noticed. Nobody in her family asked why a seventh grader had a man's name on her ring finger. Nobody at a tattoo parlor stopped to wonder whether a young teenager should be walking in and getting a grown man's name etched permanently onto her skin. Maybe they saw it. Maybe they just didn't want to ask. Maybe they just wanted the money. Maybe he was too much of a payday to not ask more questions. Celeste's brother Matthew told reporters she'd been heading to see a movie with Burke the night she disappeared. The family knew it was David. Her mother told reporters her daughter had a boyfriend named David. They had partial knowledge. Whether they grasped the full scope is a question nobody outside the family can really answer. But here's what's not debatable. The family knew the name. Law enforcement knew the name. Phone records connected the name to the number. The number connected to an address where deputies had already stood in the doorway. Two systems had overlapping pieces of the same picture, and neither one put them together. A text recovered by prosecutors from Celeste's phone laid it out in her own words. She told Burke the relationship was just the same thing over and over, and she wanted more for herself. A 14-year-old girl recognizing that she was being used before any adult around her did. She was the clearest voice in this entire story. And according to prosecutors, when she finally threatened to say it publicly, to expose the relationship, to blow up his career, well, that's what allegedly got her killed. This part of the story is not about David. It's about the space around Celeste that was supposed to be filled with adults who gave a damn. Deputies who had a name, a number, and an address and left it at a welfare check. Parents who knew about a David but didn't see the whole picture, a school system, airlines, hotels, a tattoo parlor, the music industry apparatus that wraps around every touring artist in this country, all of it running normally while the child disappeared into an adult's world. I guess maybe that's just how it's always run. And not one person in any of those systems had the curiosity or the nerve to ask a question. Celeste Rivas Hernandez deserved better from every adult in this story. In part two, we're going to get to what prosecutors say happened when the last person she trusted allegedly turned on her, and the digital paper trail he allegedly built with his own hands. That is so stupid and borders on unbelievable. That's coming up next as we review the David saga and where we are at today and how we got here. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. We'll continue the conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
David Burke's breakout hit was called Romantic Homicide. Hundreds of millions of streams got him signed to Interscope Records at 17. His debut album released 2 days after prosecutors say he killed a 14-year-old girl. Yeah. Released that album called Withered. One of his music videos for a track called One More Dance shows him dragging a body and placing it into the trunk of a car. He had a public alter ego called Itami, Japanese for pain. Oh, he's so deep, isn't he? Oh, David, you and your lyrics. That he described in interviews as basically an agent of chaos. Oh, you have an agent of chaos living. That's lovely. None of that is alleged. He published it. He promoted it. He performed it on stages around the world. Most of us would just call it mental illness. California passed a law in 2022 restricting when creative work can be used as evidence. So whether any of this sees the inside of a courtroom is an open question. But those parallels are going to sit in the back of a juror's mind, whether the judge tells them to ignore it or not, as long as they're aware. Part one was about who failed Celeste. Part two was about what prosecutors allege happened the night of April 23rd and the months of alleged cover-up. Part three is about the investigation, the people who tried to dodge it, and the question everyone keeps asking. How does a man walk free for 7 months when the body was in his car? When tow yard workers found the remains on September 8th, 25, things moved fast on the ground. The Tesla was registered to Burke. A search warrant hit his Hollywood Hills rental on September 17th. And detectives pulled electronic devices, blood evidence, and materials consistent with a mutilation charge. DNA from the garage matched Celeste. She was identified in September 16th through dental records. She still had braces. She had the tattoo on her finger and Burke's name on her ring finger. The markings nobody noticed while she was alive became the forensic details that confirmed who she was. Burke canceled his tour September 19th. Interscope dropped him. Sony Music Publishing cut him. His management walked the music industry, an industry not exactly known for its moral compass. Moved in weeks. Record labels that have stuck by artists through every kind of scandal, looked at this and ran. Law enforcement took 7 months. From September 8th, 25 to April 16th, 26, David Burke was a free man. 7 months. Not that math register. Police had his car with a body in it. They had DNA in his garage. The Tesla was registered to him. His phone number was already on file from the welfare check 14 months earlier. And yet the LAPD classified this as a death investigation, not a murder, until November 24th, when they finally called it what it was. 2.5 months to use the word murder. When a dismembered body was found in a car registered to a specific identifiable person. The medical examiner was placed under a court-ordered security hold initiated by the LAPD, blocking the release of any details, including cause of death. The coroner didn't rule it a homicide until December 9th. 3 months, cause of death, multiple penetrating injuries with unspecified objects. There are reasons for being careful. Death penalty cases need airtight evidence. You don't get a second chance if you rush the filing. All of that is legitimate, but 7 months of freedom for a man whose registered vehicle contained a child's remains is a timeline that should really bother every person listening or watching this. The system failed Celeste while she was alive. Then it failed her again when she was dead. The grand jury started meeting in November of 25. Three separate panels heard testimony over the following months. Record label executives were questioned. Robert Morgenthau, the president of Burke's touring company, testified. And then the people in Burke's inner circle started running. Neil Langston, a streamer, close friend of Burke, seen in a lot of photos, got a subpoena, didn't show. So a Los Angeles judge signed a warrant. And in January of 26, after the holidays, officers found Langston at his mother's house in Helena, Montana. They arrested him, extradited his ass across the country, booked on $60,000 bail. He eventually testified for about 40 minutes after a cross-country arrest for ducking a subpoena. He later went on social media, put Burke on blast, and said he was moving on. Burke's family went further. His parents and younger brother were subpoenaed in January of 26. They challenged the subpoenas in Texas, arguing due process violations because the supporting affidavits were redacted. A Texas appeals court denied them in days and ordered compliance. These are the same family members who hosted Celeste in their home. She was 13 when she visited. And when a grand jury asked what they knew about the child who'd been in their house, their move was to lawyer up and fight. I think to January 2026, a Caltrans worker picking up debris on the side of State Route 154 in Santa Barbara County found Celeste's passport card. That's the same remote stretch of highway prosecutors say Burke drove to the night of April 23rd to dump her belongings, and where he allegedly returned at least twice more. Her property tossed on the roadside by someone who thought the middle of nowhere was far enough away. A guy with a pickup truck and a trash bag found it. April 16th to 26th, LAPD robbery homicide picks up Burke at a house in Marmont Avenue in Hollywood. 4 days later, DA Nathan Hochman lays out the charges. First-degree murder with special circumstances, lying in wait. The invitation to his house that night was allegedly the setup. Murder for financial gain. Prosecutors say he killed her to protect a career worth millions. Murder of a witness. Celeste was the only person who could blow it all up, and he allegedly made sure she didn't. He was also charged with continuous illegal conduct with a person under 14 and unlawful mutilation of human remains. A little side dish there of charges. Prosecutors found a significant amount of CSAM material on his phone. You know what that means. And on his iCloud account. You would think there would be something within iCloud, that there'd be some sort of technology to detect that sort of shit so they can flag the fuckers that do that and just, boom, pick them out one by one. We'll take you out of here. Looks like you got some shit on your phone. We're going to go drop you over into the shark tank. Enjoy. 40 terabytes of total evidence. Lead prosecutor Beth Silverman, Major Crimes Division. Burke has pleaded not guilty. His defense team, Blair Burke, Marilyn Benarski, Regina Peter, said the evidence will show he did not murder Celeste Rivas Hernandez and he was not the cause of her death. My ass. Again, innocent until proven guilty, though. That's my opinion. What's yours? His parents said they stand by him 100%. The same parents who fought a grand jury subpoena rather than answer questions about the child in their house. LAPD sources have indicated a second person may have been involved before, during, and after Celeste's death. I wonder who that might be. That threat is unresolved. The preliminary hearing is set for July 21st, 2026. 5 days to determine whether this goes to trial. The DA hasn't decided on the death penalty yet. It's going to be fascinating. Celeste's mother stood outside the courthouse after the arraignment and said she wanted justice for her daughter. She said she wouldn't rest until everyone responsible was held accountable. Everyone, not just the man in the orange jumpsuit. The deputies who went to his door and left, the family who met a child in their home and then fought a subpoena, the friends who smelled a body and didn't dial three numbers. The industry that built a star and never once noticed a 14-year-old in his orbit. Again, gee, does this happen a lot in the music industry? Yes, it does. The system that had a body in a registered vehicle and took 7 months to arrest a guy whose name was on the title. Celeste Rivas Hernandez was born September 7th of 2010. She loved to sing and dance. Friday nights were movie nights with her family. She had braces. She was 14 years old, and she was the only person in the entire story who saw what was happening clearly enough to threaten to say it out loud. According to prosecutors, that is also what got her killed. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in and give us your thoughts. We'll continue our conversation there. Be sure to press subscribe. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.